me talk for a moment about one of the things that I think predicts disillusion of relationships more than anything else. It's certainly something to pay attention to. And I think if this rule, if this issue I'm about to talk about is not checked, I think it will certainly lead to a relationship that will end down the line. This rule is the rule of thirds. The rule of thirds is as follows. Remember, I said that the primary attachment relationship is primary. In other words, these two people occupy an office of primary attachment. They represent something. If you think about human beings as being intensely dyadic creatures, we start amorphously, basically, as a single mind, thinking, we have one mind with our caregiver, to having two minds. And we spend many years in that dyadic atmosphere, that orbit around our primary caregiver. It's just the two of us. And then development moves along and we begin to accept a third. That's the other parent, be it a father or another mother. And that's a developmental achievement, to be able to break away from that intensely dyadic situation that is our first couple situation, our first primary relationship with our caregiver, into accepting another person. And now we have the beginning of a lot of emotions that weren't there before, such as sadness and jealousy and so on, with that incorporation of a third person. But I'm going to suggest to you that even though we develop into thirds, which includes more than three people, groups of people, and we're able to tolerate both intensely dyadic relationships, love relationships, as well as groups of people, we're still primarily dyadic creatures. We still primarily rely on another person. I just want you to consider that when we enter into a primary attachment relationship with a romantic partner in adulthood, there's a reason why the word primary exists. It's because that relationship doesn't tolerate being secondary or tertiary. It just doesn't. And a lot of people make this mistake. They are in a primary attachment relationship and they allow thirds to intrude in such a way that sidelines the other partner, makes them the third wheel in some way. So a third, let me just define what a third is. A third is anything that is the outside of this couple system. It could be a task. It could be a job. It could be alcohol or drugs. It could be sex. It could be a child, a pet, in-laws. There are any number of forces that want in on this dyad, that are going to intrude on it, that are going to compete for the resources. That's the way it is. In fact, the more attractive the dyad is, the more third things that want to intrude on it. So, how is the couple going to handle this? Unskilled couples, or couples that don't believe in the idea of primacy and of this relationship, will allow third things to intrude at the cost of their partner. Now, I should also mention that thirds by themselves are usually neutral. They only become negative when they're used by one partner in a way that causes a breach in the attachment system, that betrays the other partner. So, for instance, a best friend. A best friend comes before the interests of the other partner, and the other partner feels sidelined, the third wheel. That other partner is going to not like that best friend very much. Not because they're bad, but because they came between the primacy of that relationship. They disturbed that primacy. Now, this is important because we live in a culture where multiple marriages are the norm. Blended families are the norm. And many people think that second and third, fourth marriages fail because of the complexity of the amount of people involved in these new marriages. Because every time you get remarried, you add more people. There are more people that can intrude, more people you have to feed, more people you have to placate, other in-laws, other children, exes. But that is not really what is going to tank that new marriage. It's not going to be the complexity of these added people. It's going to be the attitude of the two partners. Generally, the attitude that we can afford to allow other people to sideline each other, to make each other the third wheel, to degrade the other person's value. That just doesn't work. And in my work and other people who do this work with couples, we see this quite a bit. There's something about this kind of relationship that's unique, that's very different from all other relationships. And the expectations are different. So that people have to decide in their putting the relationship first, secure functioning relationship, putting the relationship first, when there's a competition for resources, when there's a competition from outside forces to come between partners and to take one partner into some special relationship away from the other, these two partners are going to have to decide in this process who's going to be the loser, who's going to lose. Somebody has to lose in this. And what I'm saying is that it should not be the primary partner very often, if at all. That's with children, in-laws, everybody. When I hear that one partner is complaining that he or she feels like they're in the middle of something, I'm in the middle of my mother and you, I'm in the middle of my kid and you, that always signals a problem to me because there is no middle. The middle person actually is the other person. It's really a no-brainer in terms of who has to lose. If you both people have to win, everybody loses. So in this game, there has to be some respect for the idea that primary attachment relationships don't suffer being anything other than primary.